from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Now the 1-1 on the way to Bellinger. A swing and a fly ball deep right field. This ball's got a chance. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. High fly ball deep left center field. This ball's got a chance. Gone. 2-run homer, Isak Paredes.
Benintendi. Back to right. And he did it again. His second home run tonight. Lifted in the air. Out to center. And there's the ball game. Sox fell down 7-0. Trying to complete the comeback, but they leave it loaded in the bottom of the ninth and lose by one.
And the next pitch, a line drive left field, base hit. One run is in. Here comes Swanson. He scores. 2-run single, Miguel Amaya. Cubs lead 3-1. And the strike two pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three, and the Cubs win the ball game. The Cubs sweep the two-game series. They make it 4 in a row. They stay red hot. That's 8 out of 10. And they finished a perfect 4-0 against the White Sox for the year.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Da-da-da-da, ba-bam, ba-da-ba-ba. You sing all the brass when it's a day that feels this good out there. Ba-da-do-do-do-do. A little crispness in the air. I know, it's football season. I get it. But it's also baseball season. Look, even I can't deny how good Caleb Williams looked, okay? I mean, it was unbelievable. And it's me, Matt Spiegel, here with you on a Sunday morning. It is Hit and Run. Yeah, that's right. I'm leading Hit and Run with Caleb Williams by my own choice. My own choice. Let's acknowledge that the whole town is buzzing and should be after watching two drives of that guy.
All right? Was so much fun.
It was outrageous. He's outrageous. And let's just acknowledge that that happened. Let's also acknowledge while we're at it that the women's gold medal soccer game was awesome.
That was great too.
And then let's acknowledge that the men's gold medal basketball game was awesome. And then let's acknowledge that Cubs Sox was pretty damn good. It was really compelling. And that Friday night's Cubs Sox game was incredible. That game from 7-0 to 7-6. With Hector Neris and the bases loaded. And it, you know what it felt like? It felt like if the Sox had completed that comeback, that was a coffin nail. It literally felt like that to me as I'm watching it. But they didn't. And then the Cubs hang on yesterday. And now the Cubs are one game under 500 for the first time since the 6th of June. And they are... still, what, 3.5 games out of the wild card. There are three teams between them and the last wild card spot. And those teams are the Cardinals, the Giants, and the Mets. Could they pass those teams? Could they pass the Cardinals and beat the Cardinals? We've seen a lot of St. Louis. Sure, they could. Could they beat the Giants? Sure, they could. Could they beat the Mets? I don't know. The Braves are back in. As of yesterday, they were not. Could they beat the Braves, who are the third wild card? I do not believe so. The Diamondbacks, the Padres? Oh, hell no. But, so look, are they better than those teams to this point in the year? Of course not. But is baseball a funny game? Baseball is a funny game. It is. And the calendar still says there's time, and that Cubs bunch is playing with some fire. They're playing with some confidence, and they clearly believe there's enough time. It's crazy. In a season where everybody has given up at different times on this team, including yours truly. You know me. I broke right after the All-Star break, the series against the Diamondbacks. Sean, I drew blood on my arm here because somebody broke the crystal on top of Dan Patrick's Marconi for 2022 Personality of the Year that exists in here. I think this thing is about to exit the studio for good. And
we'll just win another one so we can get our own up.
Well, we didn't win that one.
We'll win that.
I'm gonna get that out of here.
I'm sorry you've been hurt by projectiles.
I've got blood. I'm bleeding for you this morning, everybody. I bleed to talk baseball for you. It is 9:05. It is me, Matt Spiegel. It is Hit and Run, broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. You, listeners, your calls, your texts are not merely welcome. They are elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. And we welcome it on the listener line. And the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Later on today, there is no baseball. There's no baseball. Thank you very much. Is that paper towels for my bloody arm? Thank you to the associate producer, doing a fine job. You're not just here to screen calls. You're
He's very thoughtful, this kid.
Did he suggest that himself?
Yes.
You think Shane Reardon would have done that? No, you didn't? Sean, don't make stuff up, man. If my own son, as the associate producer, didn't come up with the idea to bring me a paper towel for my bleeding arm, do not give him credit for that.
I'm just trying to make the kid look good.
Don't. You know? He doesn't need it. He looks good anyway, just his authentic, messy self. All right, thank you very much. Thank you. Baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Steve Stone is on the show at 10 o'clock. Looking forward to talking to Steve, obviously, about the White Sox and what the path forward is under Chris Getz, what the managerial search should be, how much that matters towards the big picture, just how long this will take, and also, what is up with Luis Robert? Can we talk about the chase on that guy and just how it does not seem to leave him? I mean, whew, goodness. Don't have to throw that guy a strike anytime. That's some tough stuff right now. So, look, we'll talk to Steve Stone about all of that, and we'll talk about his personal, you know, situation with the White Sox. He tweeted a little bit about it and then was really compelling talking with Mully and Hall about it, about how depressing this season is. For him. And I'm sure White Sox fans everywhere can understand. So we'll talk to Stoney. We will do Team of the Moment on the show today. I bet you can guess who the Team of the Moment is. So we'll do that a little bit later on. A little later, you're going to hear from Chris Getz, and you'll hear from Craig Counsell. I thought Craig Counsell's best interview of the season with Parkins and Spiegel on Friday. Some philosophy mixed in there, some manager talk that is, to me, relevant to the Sox search as well. So in the 11 o'clock hour, you'll hear from Getz and Counsell, and we'll talk managers. And I'll be taking your phone calls all along, especially this hour. I set the table to tell you that this is the hour for you to dial it up at 312-644-6767. Do it right now. You can get in on the Cubs. And if you believe that they can make a run here at 1 under .500, if you've been out, are they drawing you back in? Do you just not believe? Do you find them annoying even as they start to play well? And do you wonder where it's been? Do you have reasons as to why it's happening? We can talk about all of that at 312-644-6767. White Sox fans, where is your head regarding the overall org? Do you feel like it matters who the next manager is? How long do you expect this to take? I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767. So dial it up and get involved. Look, as far as the Cubs go, a big, big part of what has gone on is the bottom of the order showing you that it's not just three outs waiting to happen. It is a massive change in how the team feels about itself offensively. It is a change in how opposing pitchers feel, and it is driven by a few different factors. obviously there is Pete Crow Armstrong, who is starting to hit the ball with authority and with some consistency, and still mixing in the bunt attempts as there was last night. And he's unstoppable on the bases, and he's growing and learning how to be a big leaguer. It is at times sloppy. It is at times, very, very overly aggressive. But there is some wisdom seeping in, and the skills are there, and the numbers show that to you. There is Dansby Swanson, who over the last 40 days or so has a batting average of .326. Two more hits yesterday. Big day for the Swanson family. So there is Dansby Swanson. There is Nico Hoerner now batting in the 6-hole or the 7-hole, depending on how they set it up, because Ian Happ is back leading off, which was the idea at the beginning of the year. And Nico in the 6-hole, do not underestimate the effect of him there in terms of the quality of at-bat, the style of at-bat, when he is on base, his ability to steal bases, and what he shows and represents in terms of a willingness to take the ball where it is pitched. And, it's like a secondary leadoff there. I know oftentimes we talk about 9 as a secondary leadoff, but that's an extension of the leadoff, right? The functionality of Nico as a table setter for 7, 8, and 9 has been really, really interesting. Everything sort of works a little bit. We know that overall, having somebody like Isak Paredes with his skill set of being able to pull the ball in the air and then still have a 2-strike approach, having that guy there, having a healthy Cody Bellinger, and what a monster game he had on Friday. Having those two there is the single biggest and most important factor as to why the lineup has picked it up. They're a top 10 offense in baseball over the last 15 games. Top 10 in batting average, top 10 in OPS. I think they're even top 10 in home runs. Yeah, they're number 10 in home runs over the last 15 days. So all of those things matter. But maybe the biggest thing, the biggest thing in terms of what I find myself thinking about for future roster construction is Miguel Amaya since the swing adjustments in early July. He took a couple of days off at the end of June, did Miguel Amaya. And he took those, I think it was 3 days off that Miguel Amaya took to finish off June. He returned on the 2nd of July and was hitless in that first game. And that's when things bottomed out. That was at its worst. At 189, he was hitting a 249 OBP, a 256 slug. And since then, it's been very, very good. In fact, in the last 20 games, Miguel Amaya is hitting .315 with a .373 OPP, a .481 slug, 2 homers, 3 doubles, 8 RBIs in those 20 games. So that's since the 7th of July. And what's interesting is that this is a guy who was always supposed to hit every step of the way in the minors. We have Justin Steele talking about him from last night. This is from after the game where Justin Steele was talking about Miguel Amaya. Remember that Steele and Amaya spent a lot of time in the minor leagues together at different stops, and certainly during the COVID shutdown and when the prospects were all gathered, that's a time that they spent together. Here's Steele and Amaya after the game.
That's awesome, seeing Miggy, coming to his own, really performing at the major league level. It's great to see. It's, I say all the time, I played with him at the All-Site in 2020, and, for me, he was one of the scariest hitters down there at that time, so I've kind of seen this coming with, Amaya and whatnot. So, he's a special player.
So, look, if Miguel Amaya can give you a representative catcher's offense, then next year you probably bring up Moises Ballesteros to be a lefty with pop as your second catcher, and all of a sudden you've got two young catchers. Miggy as the better defender, but Ballesteros is a lefty bat that needs to play. Reminds me of, good times in Toronto over the last few years with the mix of Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk. And that was a real good catcher tandem. And I like Kirk as a hitter. And Ballesteros looks to be a similar kind of hitter. He's got plenty of pop, but really good bat control in a short and round catcher body that is adorable and will be fun. So I'm thinking about that a lot because catcher is one of the only spots where you could like really make an investment and try to get better for next year, because a lot of other things are locked and loaded unless they convince either Saya or Ian Happ to waive their no trade clause and do something that way. But Miguel Amaya's emergence here and really his return to offensive form to me is a big, big deal. So you've got that factor in there, and it's been really, really important. 312-644-6767 is the number. Baseball's crazy, man. Baseball's crazy. They absolutely have a shot. And God, that would be fun. It'd be super fun to have this, like, weird playoff push that happens in August as the Bears are rolling, you know, in preseason. And we can mix all that stuff together. It'd be really fun as the Bears are playing their first four or five games to have the Cubs playing meaningful baseball in September. And not just meaningful as it falls apart like last year. How about meaningful with a push? Because certain things have evened themselves out. Since the 1st of June, it is the best bullpen in baseball. The best bullpen in baseball since the 1st of June. And I know Hector Neris still makes you crazy, but there are a lot of parts pitching really well. Jorge Lopez has been a terrific pickup. Tyson Miller has been, obviously, a terrific pickup. They've withstood the loss of Mark Leiter Jr. because Drew Smyly has been largely effective over the course of the year, either as a long man or as a short lefty. And, it's interesting. I don't find myself sitting around waiting for reinforcements. I'm still nervous with Hector. But maybe Merriweather gets some big save moments. I thought Merriweather was going to get that last night, as a matter of fact, after a 20-pitch outing from Hector on Friday. But in came Neris and two big strikeouts to finish that after he made the awkward error at first base. By the way, that error, I think the runner was out. I think the Cubs waited too long to challenge, and if they had challenged, I think they would have won it. And they waited too long and didn't get it done. But I think that call would have been reversed if they had indeed challenged. 312-644-6767 is the number. A lot of people are wondering, top text, why is Willie Harris still coaching third base? Listen to Grady Sizemore from last night after the game talking about Cody Bellinger scoring on that play. This is Grady Sizemore talking about the Isak Paredes double to left where the ball comes into Brooks Baldwin and Brooks Baldwin only looks at second. And nobody screams at Brooks Baldwin, "Hey, throw home! Throw home!" And the Cubs absolutely steal a run to tie that game.
I think he was just caught off guard. You know, I think I don't think he expected that guy, the third base coach, to send him there. I think he was just thinking, you know, first and third, maybe I got a play on Paredes at second. And I think with it just being so loud, he probably didn't hear, you know, us yelling four. And, you know, just got just a missed opportunity. You know, I think it's unfortunate, but you know, he's been so good for us. You know, I just feel like that was one of those kind of fluke plays where he probably wasn't expecting, you know, Willie to send him there from third, and just got caught there.
You mentioned it was loud. Maybe you didn't hear it, but was the communication good on the rest of the infield?
I mean, I couldn't hear anything. Like I said, even if Vargy was screaming for it, I don't think Brooks would have heard it. I think it was just one of those plays that, you know, unfortunate, he didn't see what was happening. I think, you know, he still had a lot of time, but I guess, you know, in that situation, it's just, you know, I don't think he was expecting, you know, that guy to go. Maybe looking to see if we had a play at second with the hitter, and you know, it happens. You know, it's going to happen from time to time.
Man, the White Sox are trying hard in these two games. They are very bad, obviously. They are trying hard. I thought they played spirited ball on Friday, a little less so last night, but you can tell they're trying hard. But there were two moments. There's that moment right there from Baldwin when Miguel Vargas, Vargy, as Grady Sizemore calls him, has to be screaming, "Home! Home!" Or four, as Adrian Pruszynski said. Some teams will say four in terms of what bases, whatever it is. They clearly have none of that worked out. Absolutely none of that worked out. And that should not surprise us. We've seen them miss cutoff men. We've seen them be bad at fundamentals all year long. They're terribly coached. It's a poorly run organization. And the other one was, did you see Lenin Sosa after the sacrifice bunt from PCA? Lenin Sosa just kind of tosses the ball towards the mound. And was it Chad Kuhl who wasn't anywhere around? And they almost gave up 90 feet. And the go-ahead run by Lenin Sosa just kind of tossing the ball. Well, this is the end of the play. This is when I give it to the pitcher. He's not there. I don't care. My job is done. Just an embarrassment to see things like that. But Grady will fix him. Grady will coach him up for these couple of months, and then Grady will move on, and then somebody else will come in, and they'll fix him. They'll coach him up. God, nothing makes the manager's job feel more inconsequential than a terribly run overall organization that's 5 years away from being anywhere. It's Spiegs with you on Hit and Run. Let's talk big picture Cubs and Sox, and also small picture Cubs, as they are surprisingly, somewhat sadistically, back in it. It is Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
The next pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Breaking ball got him. Luis Robert Jr. is 0-10 in the two-game series. More importantly, now the White Sox are down to their last chance.
Hector Neris with the strikeout of Luis Robert Jr. Since the All-Star break, there have been 81 at-bats for Luis Robert Jr. He has struck out 40 times. 40 out of 81. Hitting 123, an OBP of 155 for Luis Robert since the All-Star break. That guy right now, a friend of mine asked me a very interesting question, and we can throw this out there into the mix as we are talking about the Cubs and the Sox, and we'll take your phone calls in a moment. He asked me last night, the next 5 years, you want Luis Robert or Pete Crow Armstrong? For the next 5 years. I was laughed at, straight laughed at, by the likes of Chris Tannehill and Shane Reardon when on the Parkinson Spiegel Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 6. About 2 months ago, I said, you want to trade Luis Robert? Can I interest you in Pete Crow Armstrong as the headliner of a deal? And I was laughed out of the studio. And now I ask you, who do you want for the next 5 years? Higher ceiling with Luis Robert? Yeah, of course. It's a ton of home runs. Defensively, I think I'll take PCA. I'll take PCA's next 5 years. In a heartbeat, I'll take his next 5 years defensively. By the way, PCA is going to break Trey Turner's record of 30 steals without being caught. He's going to break that record. He's already above 30 and without being caught when you add in the minor leagues. And here's what we know, and Mike Napoli talked about it this week. PCA got caught 10 times last year in the minors. And I think he got caught, what, 4 times in the majors last year? He has learned and worked on the nuances of the stolen base. He's not just going out there being fast anymore. He's actually done the work. And I don't know how much of that work Luis Robert has done and will do. I'll be honest with you. So if it's still a slam dunk for you, I would take Luis Robert the next 5 years. Ask yourself, if that's really how you feel. Take a moment, take a deep breath, really think about it, really consider it. Let's go to Mike in Northbrook on 670 The Score. What's up, Mike? How are you?
Well, you totally stole my thunder, because one of the most perplexing things to me in this whole season, forget the fact that they're terrible and this and that, there is some hope because they have a better looking farm system and but the play of Luis Robert, I don't understand it. This guy just hit 27. Going into this year, anybody, even you, would have said he's the best baseball player in Chicago going into this season. What went? And then he had an injury. Okay. But you look at him, it's either one of two things. He doesn't give a darn, or he's what Sammy Sosa was in his last season with the Sox when Sosa hit 20 homers but struck out. And I used to say to myself, if the guy ever learns to lay off the breaking pitch, he might be good. And somehow he learned to lay off, and look what he did. This guy swings at every pitch that breaks, whether it's a slider, whether it's a cutter, whatever. He's swinging at them all. The only thing he can hit is a straight fastball that comes over the plate. Maybe they got to be telling them that – you know, you've got to be more disciplined, but he just isn't.
Yeah, they're certainly telling him, but he just isn't. It's remarkable. The amount of chase on that guy. You don't need to throw a strike. You really don't. Just keep going with whatever you got outside. Whatever you got off the right edge. And some people can never keep themselves from swinging at that. See, Baez, Javi. I mean, I've had this conversation with incredible hitting minds and asked them, God, we had the Baez conversation with Joe Maddon almost on the weekly. It's really hard to do. And when you're good at everything else, it's hard to do. I don't know. It just, this is what it looks like sometimes. And obviously he moves very smoothly. And he's got skills that sometimes look easy. But it does have the feel of a not give a crap moment. It really, really does. Of just like, well, I'm just going to go up there and try to do my thing. Oh, this is hard. Should I work on it? I've already gotten paid. How much of that is in there with Yoan Moncada and Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez? And I praised the hell out of those early contract extensions from Rick Hahn. But did you see what Grady Sizemore said about Moncada? Sean, search that up on Twitter. Sizemore was asked about it yesterday. And I think he said something like he's still, I don't know. It was so vague the way he talked about it. It was like, yeah, he doesn't want to play, so he's probably not going to play. Guy should have been DFA'd. I mean, and we know this about Moncada. We know there is a not give a crap about Moncada. We have heard that there's a not give a crap factor about Eloy. Sometimes he's worked on getting himself in great shape and staying healthy, and sometimes he has not. Over the course of the years. That's why very smart and worthwhile baseball people went on massive rants, Ryan McGuffey, about Eloy Jimenez after he left. Did you find that quote from Sizemore on Moncada? I'll find it if you do not.
I found him, James Fegan talk about the trade rumors taking a toll on him, but not the, the effort level play there.
All right, I'll find it. This is Ben in Queens. Ben, it distresses me to say that Luis Robert doesn't care, but that's what it looks like sometimes.
Well, Spiegs, you're leading me into what my lead topic is. He needs to find the motivation from one of the greatest Cuban athletes in the history of the Olympics, who just set a record by winning for the fifth time in the same event, Greco-Roman heavyweight Mijaín López. If you don't know about this guy, you need to check him out.
Okay.
If you want to talk about leverage, he gets the best leverage in the history of leverage.
Seriously. Okay. By the way, let me interrupt for 1 second. I found the quote. Yoan Moncada has been running, but still kind of feeling something there in his recovery process, according to interim manager Grady Sizemore. He's still kind of feeling something there. So, yeah, not going to play. Thank you, though. Appreciate the offer. Appreciate the chance. But you guys going for the worst record of all time, me in the final year of my deal that's been a total disaster, fans really unhappy with me. Yeah, no, I'm still kind of feeling something in there, so I'm not going to play. I'm good. Thank you, Ben. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's going to have to check out Mijaín. Anecdotally, I am dropping Luis Robert from my fantasy team as we speak. Okay, I called to talk about the Cubs. Now, East Coast word of the day, the narrative. Okay, the narrative, I'm getting sick of people ragging on Jed Hoyer the whole damn year that, oh, this team isn't doing what it's doing. It's all Jed Hoyer's fault. And, you know, one of the big part of the narrative was Hoyer's magic ran out on taking also-rans and ne'er-do-wells in the bullpen and turning them into really good pitchers.
Yes.
and then flipping them like Chafin for Palencia, Robertson for Ben Brown, Scotty Efros for Wesneski, and this didn't work, and look how he failed, and Yensei Almonte is hurt, and this didn't work. And so what did Jed Hoyer do? Did he go, oh, you know what, you guys are right, you know, I just don't know what to do? No, he said, screw you, I'm going to do this in mid-flight. He went out and got Tyson Miller, who doesn't throw above 91 miles an hour. Jorge Lopez, you told all of Queens to go screw themselves. I like you. You come in here, you're going to pitch for me. Oh, and remember all the work Craig Breslow did? Well, that's given us Porter Hodge. So since June 1st, I'm going to go through the numbers. First in ERA, first in ERA+, third in FIP, two in batting average against, third in whip, fifth in BABIP, second in left on base percentage. Please, somebody give credit to Jed Hoyer, who took this disaster and did exactly what he's always done. Because if you want to sign Juan Soto, you got to have a bunch of guys in the bullpen that are making about $1 million. Love you, Spiegs. Go Cubs. I can't believe I believe in this again.
Unbelievable. Ben, you've been destroying Hoyer and the Cubs, and there you are. It happens. You're right. You're right. And Craig Counsell. Remember, this is Hoyer and Counsell as kind of partners, and we gotta praise the bullpen machinations. I had Eno Saris on the show last week, and I asked him if he trusts the Cubs to be good at that bullpen fix thing, because that's what everybody does. That is what every team does. That's what the Dodgers did with Michael Kopech. Go give me an arm that is not doing well. We'll fix him. It's what the Cubs did with Nate Pearson. I don't know if that's going to work, but it's what every team does. Go find somebody that another organization is using wrong. And Eno pointed out what has concerned me, which is that Jeremiah Estrada is a massive whiff by the Cubs in that way. So maybe it woke them up a little bit. Maybe they're paying a little more attention. I don't know. But look, it was real bad at the beginning of the year, and they do have an arrogance that they can fix people as a pitching infrastructure. And this year, as it has gone on, has given some ammunition to that. You guys know what Craig Timber is? You know what Craig Timber is? It's what the Brewers have called September since Craig Counsell has been there. And the truth is that since 2015, the Brewers, when Counsell was there, won 58% of their games in September. 58%. This goes with 52% of their games that they won in all the other months. Now, I don't have every organization's winning percentage in September since 2015. I'd be interested to see it. But the Brewers jumped up every September and played better. And you as a Cub fan remember 2018 when they went 20-7. You remember last year as the Cubs fell apart and the Brewers did not. You know? I mean, it's like Craig Timber, folks. And yes, the roster rules have been changed. But you know what Craig Timber means? It means a manager has gotten to know his team and understood their strengths and tweaked the roster to fit what he wants to do. And using his guys in the right way. And they've all maintained a pretty good mindset. Does that give you any more confidence between now and the end of the season? I think it probably should. This is Bob in Arlington Heights on 670 The Score. Hey, Bob.
Good morning, Spiegs. Hey, with all due respect to Ben in Queens, Jed Hoyer is the guy who signed Suzuki 5 years, $85 million. He's the guy who gave half the extension, and apparently he slept through long-term buyouts of Alfonso Soriano and Jason Hayward, where maybe somebody else might have learned the lesson that you don't make long-term commitments to outfielders anymore. But, you know, that's just this reporter's opinion. But
well, hold on, Bob. Hold on, Bob. The guy, I have to disagree about Seiya. I mean, Seiya Suzuki is, again, hitting well. I mean, he didn't look great last night, that's for sure. But he's top 30 in hard hit rate in all of baseball. And the numbers have been there, especially in the second half last year. And I'm a believer in Seiya Suzuki as a hitter. I think he's a DH. So your point about the many years and the long-term deal and blocking some other prospects, possibly, that one's valid. I think he's a left fielder or a DH. He's not a right fielder I want to play every day, but I will defend Jed Hoyer on the bat of Seiya Suzuki. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks. Well, I agree with you. He's either a DH or a left fielder, but, I just, when I close my eyes and think of Seiya, I think of him either dropping fly balls or chasing triples.
Yep.
And, I'm trying to be positive. And, I'm older than you are, Matt. And I'm hoping Craig Timber is a real thing, because I sure don't want to live through Ross Timber like we did last year.
Oh, boy. So, yeah. I mean, can you imagine if they make a push here after everything that's been? Can you imagine the roller coaster of this season and how we end up looking back at it, how we end up feeling it? A couple texts getting in.
Matt, the Cubs are totally still alive. They only play 11 more games against teams above 500 the rest of the year. If their bullpen keeps pitching the way they're pitching in the bottom and the bottom of the order continues to hit, they definitely have a chance. Here's another. The Cubs have the easiest schedule remaining in MLB. You know? Here's another. Lifelong Brewers fan who is saddened to see some early Craig Timber magic working for the Cubs. You know? There's another. Speaks, got to remember, I know you know, most Brewers coaches were retained by Pat Murphy, so Council had to keep a few coaches. I think this offseason he does shake things up, maybe including Willie Harris. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I like Willie a lot. I'm not advocating for Willie, but for Willie getting launched or getting changed. And it's funny because, like, he's got this reputation now. It's like waving Wendell. Like, waving Wendell. You know what? It's like just a couple of mistakes by a third base coach gets you that reputation forever.
Well, and if Nick Madrigal was a little bit faster, suddenly Willie Harris doesn't look so bad sending some of these guys.
Yeah, some of them.
Nick Madrigal. But
Nick,
yeah.
Nick Madrigal being on this roster is an embarrassment. I would like to think that Council eventually stepped up and said to Jed, what are we doing here? How long are we waiting with this guy? You seem to really be into it. I'm not. I'm not into it. Can we adjust? Can we do some stuff?
You seem to be really into
it. Yeah, you seem to be really, really all about this. And I am not all about this. But whatever it is, it's nice to not have Nick Madrigal around. 312-644-6767. We will take more of your calls on Hit and Run on The Score. Steve Stone, top of the hour.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
The full count pitch to Swanson. And there is hit number 1,000. What a day for the Swanson family. A gold medal and the 1,000th hit of Dansby Swanson's career.
He knew it. And then Mike Napoli asking for the baseball. Congratulations, Dansby Swanson. We'll single up the middle. Make sure you get that ball hanging on a mantle somewhere in your house.
There's the ball for the 1,000th hit.
Good day for the Swanson family, right? You know, all of us were watching the soccer game this morning, and then, you know, Dansby getting his 1,000th hit today, and just really cool stuff. And, you know, he's very humble about those things, but it's a big deal. It's a lot of baseball, and doing that, playing the hardest position on the field, I think it's, you know, it's awesome, and hopefully he gets 1,000 more.
That's Nico Hoerner talking about his friend, his middle infield teammate, Dansby Swanson, getting hit number 1,000 on the same day that his wife scored the goal, the game-winning goal, in the gold medal Olympic soccer game. That's pretty awesome. Come on, man. I mean, that's like top-notch. If the category is husband and wives who had the best sports day on the same calendar day, that's got to be top five. That sounds like a topic for Parkins and Spiegel tomorrow. Here, we're doing hit and run. Dansby Swanson's hitting .330 in his last 27 games. .330 on base percentage of .379. Is he sacrificing power? Yeah, a little bit. That's okay. That's okay. Line drives, baby. Get some line drives. Line drive always plays. This team was 29th out of 30 in line drive percentage for much of this year. I'll check them since June 1. And since July 1, I'd be very interested to check. And I'll check before we get out of here. I'll bring that back to you, that's for sure. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. Callers want to get in and talk White Sox. Let me give you the full quote from Grady Sizemore about Yoan Moncada. I can't tell you that we're going to get him back or we're not. I really just don't know. We're checking in daily, hoping for the best, and waiting for him to tell us when he's feeling confident that he's not favoring it or worried about anything else. Unquote. God, sounds like what we have known Moncada to be. And that's why Miguel Vargas is immediately at third base and going to be at third base every day and been given a chance to do that because Moncada is toast. Eloy is obviously gone. And we're talking quite a bit about Luis Robert, who has 40 strikeouts and 81 at-bats since the All-Star break. Jack is in Wilmette on The Score. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, Speaks. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I was watching the Major League Baseball channel, and I'm sure you know who Mad Dog is.
Of course.
He took a 10-minute rant on Jerry Reinsdorf that was really unreal, but came up with a statistic that I've never heard before. He's owned the White Sox for 43 years. Outside of 2005, they have never won a playoff series.
Yeah.
in 43 years.
Yeah, they had never won a playoff series before 2005 and then went on that incredible run with the great starting pitching and got it done. But yeah, it's a long time to not win a playoff series. I agree.
He said one other thing that was really funny. He said in Godfather 2, Hyman Roth said, "I always make money for my partners." And his thing was, that's all Jerry Reinsdorf wanted to do all these years, is make money for his partners and really couldn't care about the fans.
It's hard, man. Reinsdorf's going to be a very difficult epitaph to write. We've all been writing these epitaphs for Jerry for a lot of years now. Here's what I know. There's a ton of baseball people who swear by him and love him and feel like he genuinely does care about the organization and want the best for it. I think he's made a lot of terrible decisions. And I think that he has had a bottom line, a self-drawn line in the sand that every once in a while we get a chance to see it, and it's been embarrassing. Like, if you want Manny Machado, offer him $300 million. He offered $250 with, like, weird deferments to get there. Everybody knew what he wanted. They didn't even offer it to him. And that's at a moment when he was willing to go, where they seemed to be willing to go, the White Sox, to do whatever they had to do. He wants things on his terms. He's a very good businessman, and nothing will shake him off of that. And he will live with the disappointment of the fans and the failure in the face of that. Andy is on the road, and he is talking White Sox with me, Matt Spiegel, on Hit and Run. What do you say, Andy?
Yeah, hey, Matt. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, just first off, I'm hopelessly, passionately in love with the Chicago National League Ball Club. I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. But growing up in the Chicago area, I'm thrilled that we have two baseball teams. I love the Sox, too. I want to see them do well. And, you know, I'm glad the Cubs won the games yesterday. They've got some weird thing going with their American League record. They're now 21-10 against the AL, and they've got, like, nine more games in a row, so that should be helpful. But just thinking about the Sox, you know, I know this is really awful just living through something like this for Sox fans, but I'm driving to Kansas City, and I got to think about the Royals. They lost 106 games last year, right? And so what did they do? They signed their superstar, Bobby Witt Jr. Now, the Sox don't have somebody like that. They went out and they got a guy like Seth Lugo, who'd never won more than 8 games in a season, had 12 by the All-Star break. And right now, they're in the number 3 wild card spot. So, I mean, if the season ended today, they would be a playoff team. So, and the other thing, too, is their payroll is $120 million, which is about half of what the Cubs' payroll is. So you don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money to have some success. And I've been listening to a lot of your guys here on the Score that have been really tough on Chris Getz, and I get it because the season's terrible, but I think the guy deserves a little bit of grace. This is his first year. He's inherited a very difficult situation. They're going to have to rebuild. Everybody knows that. But I think it's possible for them to turn it around, but it is going to take some time.
It's going to take a long time because the rules don't allow you to get to the top of the draft anymore and get a Bobby Witt Jr. number one overall. They don't allow you to get there and do that anymore. I mean, that guy is a transformative player. That is a guy who, you know, is absolutely one of the top 4 or 5 best players in all of baseball. You know, it's just you're not going. So he was second overall. That's right. He was second overall in that draft. But anyway, I mean, when the White Sox have been at the top of the draft, they have absolutely screwed the pooch. Andrew Vaughn is having a nice run right now and is a fine player, you know. But that's a top 5 pick? No, horrendous. Nick Madrigal was a top 5 pick. They've done terrible, terrible things. And now as they're rebuilding again, they're not going to get into the top 5. Not for a good long while. So, you can look at the Royals, and Lord knows the White Sox are looking at the Royals, but they're very, very different situations with very few opportunities to max it out and comp it. And I'll say this about Chris Getz. He shouldn't have this job, man. Last year's search, where they didn't go outside the organization at all and they named somebody before the end of the year and they told you they were going to do that. They told you they were going to name somebody by the end of the year. That's why the press release for this manager job said they're going to go outside the organization and that they're going to name somebody after the season, because they knew how terribly that went over last year, because it was such a horrendous process, an embarrassing process. So give Chris Getz some grace. It's hard when we all know that he shouldn't have the job. Ron is on the south side on 670 The Score. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Steve. Well, first of all, you know, to the last call, the Sox, why are they looking at the Royals? They can't be. First of all, the Sox have no players. Chris Getz talked about the manager has to have player development experience. But you have to have some players. If you look at this, the roster that they have now in the minor league speed,
yeah,
there are no players to develop. And lastly, being suggested that Luis Robert, somebody can motivate. If you are a 27-year-old professional, well-paid baseball player and need somebody to motivate you, you're a loser. But I don't want to see Yoan Moncada. We need to be done with that whole stitch. Kopech is gone, and they're not going to get much for Luis Robert. So that's it. But at least, you know, hopefully after the season, all could. And you're right. I was at the game 2 weeks ago. If you look at Luis Robert, he doesn't care.
Yeah, it's an awful thing to say about a player and a talented player, but it sure has that feel. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, callers. Great hour. I want to talk to you folks who have been at these games, Sox and Cubs. We're going to do that after Steve Stone coming up next on Hit and Run.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Steve Stone, top of the hour.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
The full count pitch to Swanson. And there is hit number 1,000. What a day for the Swanson family. A gold medal and the 1,000th hit of Dansby Swanson's career.
He knew it. And then Mike Napoli asking for the baseball. Congratulations, Dansby Swanson. We'll single up the middle. Make sure you get that ball hanging on a mantle somewhere in your house.
There's the ball for the 1,000th hit.
Good day for the Swanson family, right? You know, all of us were watching the soccer game this morning, and then, you know, Dansby getting his 1,000th hit today, and just really cool stuff. And, you know, he's very humble about those things, but it's a big deal. It's a lot of baseball, and doing that, playing the hardest position on the field, I think it's awesome, and hopefully he gets 1,000 more.
That's Nico Hoerner talking about his friend, his middle infield teammate, Dansby Swanson, getting hit number 1,000 on the same day that his wife scored the goal, the game-winning goal, in the gold medal Olympic soccer game. That's pretty awesome. Come on, man. I mean, that's like top-notch. If the category is husband and wives who had the best sports day on the same calendar day, that's got to be top five. That sounds like a topic for Parkins and Spiegel tomorrow. Here, we're doing Hit and Run. Dansby Swanson's hitting .330 in his last 27 games. .330 on base percentage of .379. Is he sacrificing power? Yeah, a little bit. That's okay. Line drives, baby. Get some line drives. Line drive always plays. This team was 29th out of 30 in line drive percentage for much of this year. I'll check them since June 1. And since July 1, I'd be very interested to check. And I'll check before we get out of here. I'll bring that back to you, that's for sure. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. Callers want to get in and talk White Sox. Let me give you the full quote from Grady Sizemore about Yoan Moncada. I can't tell you that we're going to get him back or we're not. I really just don't know. We're checking in daily, hoping for the best, and waiting for him to tell us when he's feeling confident that he's not favoring it or worried about anything else. Unquote. God, sounds like what we have known Moncada to be.
And that's why Miguel Vargas is immediately at third base and going to be at third base every day and been given a chance to do that because Moncada is toast. Eloy is obviously gone. And we're talking quite a bit about Luis Robert, who has 40 strikeouts and 81 at-bats since the All-Star break. Jack is in Wilmette on the Score. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, Speaks. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I was watching the NBA, the Major League Baseball channel, and I'm sure you know who Mad Dog is.
Of course.
He took a 10-minute rant on Jerry Reinsdorf that was really unreal, but came up with a statistic that I've never heard before. He's owned the White Sox for 43 years. Outside of 2005, they have never won a playoff series.
Yeah.
In 43 years.
Yeah, they had never won a playoff series before 2005 and then went on that incredible run with the great starting pitching and got it done. But yeah, it's a long time to not win a playoff series. I agree.
He said one other thing that was really funny. He said in Godfather 2, Hyman Roth said, "I always make money for my partners." And his thing was, that's all Jerry Reinsdorf wanted to do all these years, is make money for his partners and really couldn't care about the fans.
It's hard, man. Reinsdorf's going to be a very difficult epitaph to write. We've all been writing these epitaphs for Jerry for a lot of years now. Here's what I know. There's a ton of baseball people who swear by him and love him and feel like he genuinely does care about the organization and want the best for it. I think he's made a lot of terrible decisions. And I think that he has had a bottom line, a self-drawn line in the sand that every once in a while we get a chance to see it, and it's been embarrassing. Like, if you want Manny Machado, offer him $300 million. He offered $250 with, like, weird deferments to get there. Everybody knew what he wanted. They didn't even offer it to him. And that's at a moment when he was willing to go, where they seemed to be willing to go, the White Sox, to do whatever they had to do. He wants things on his terms. He's a very good businessman, and nothing will shake him off of that. And he will live with the disappointment of the fans and the failure in the face of that. Andy is on the road, and he is talking White Sox with me, Matt Spiegel, on Hit and Run. What do you say, Andy?
Yeah, hey, Matt. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, just first off, I'm hopelessly, passionately in love with the Chicago National League Ball Club. I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. But growing up in the Chicago area, I'm thrilled that we have two baseball teams. I love the Sox, too. I want to see them do well. And, you know, I'm glad the Cubs won the games yesterday. They've got some weird thing going with their American League record. They're now 21-10 against the AL, and they've got like eight more games in a row, so that should be helpful. But just thinking about the Sox, you know, I know this is really awful just living through something like this for Sox fans, but I'm driving to Kansas City, and I got to think about the Royals. They lost 106 games last year, right? And so what did they do? They signed their superstar, Bobby Witt Jr. Now, the Sox don't have somebody like that. They went out and they got a guy like Seth Lugo, who'd never won more than 8 games in a season, had 12 by the All-Star break. And right now, they're in the number 3 wild card spot. So, I mean, if the season ended today, they would be a playoff team. So, and the other thing, too, is their payroll is $120 million, which is about half of what the Cubs' payroll is. So you don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money to have some success. And I've been listening to a lot of your guys here on the Score that have been really tough on Chris Getz. And I get it because the season's terrible. But I think the guy deserves a little bit of grace. This is his first year. He's inherited a very difficult situation. They're going to have to rebuild. Everybody knows that. But I think it's possible for them to turn it around, but it is going to take some time.
It's going to take a long time because the rules don't allow you to get to the top of the draft anymore and get a Bobby Witt Jr. number 1 overall. They don't allow you to get there and do that anymore. I mean, that guy is a transformative player. That is a guy who, you know, is absolutely one of the top 4 or 5 best players in all of baseball. You know, it's just you're not going. So he was 2nd overall. That's right. He was 2nd overall in that draft. But anyway, I mean, when the White Sox have been at the top of the draft, they've absolutely screwed the pooch. Andrew Vaughn is having a nice run right now and is a fine overall is a fine player, you know. But that's a top five pick? No, horrendous. Nick Madrigal was a top five pick. They've done terrible, terrible things. And now as they're rebuilding again, they're not going to get into the top five. Not for a good long while. So, you can look at the Royals, and Lord knows the White Sox are looking at the Royals, but they're very, very different situations with very few opportunities to max it out and comp it. And I'll say this about Chris Getz. He shouldn't have this job, man. Last year's search, where they didn't go outside the organization at all and they named somebody before the end of the year and they told you they were going to do that. They told you they were going to name somebody by the end of the year. That's why the press release for this manager job said they're going to go outside the organization and that they're going to name somebody after the season, because they knew how terribly that went over last year, because it was such a horrendous process, an embarrassing process. So give Chris Getz some grace. It's hard when we all know that he shouldn't have the job. Ron is on the south side on 670 The Score. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Steve. Well, first of all, you know, to the last caller, the Sox, why are they looking at the Royals? They can't be. First of all, the Sox have no players. Chris Getz talked about the manager has to have player development spirit, but you have to have some players. If you look at this, the roster that they have now in the minor league speed,
yeah,
there are no players to develop. And lastly, being suggested that Luis Roberts, somebody can motivate. If you are a 27-year-old professional, well-paid baseball player and need somebody to motivate you, you're a loser. But I don't want to see Yoan Moncada. We need to be done with that whole stitch. Kopech is gone, and they're not going to get much for Luis Roberts. So that's it. But at least, you know, hopefully after the season, and you're right. I was at the game 2 weeks ago. If you look at Luis Roberts, he doesn't care.
Yeah, it's an awful thing to say about a player and a talented player, but it sure has that feel. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, callers. Great hour. I want to talk to you folks who have been at these games, Sox and Cubs. We're going to do that after Steve Stone coming up next on Hit and Run.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.